الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
اللہ تعالیٰ قرآن کریم میں فرماتا ہے کنتم خیر امتن.
In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty says, کنتم خیر امتن اخرجت للناس, that you are the best people raised for the good of mankind. Among the duties of Muslims, this is an immense responsibility, that the world should come to benefit from a Muslim. The world should attain prosperity, success and betterment from a Muslim, rather than evil and misery. However, the current state of the world as we observe it is that we find that Muslim governments, organizations and people have spread so much disorder, havoc and strife in the world that people in the world are terrified and frightened upon hearing just the name of Islam and Muslims. And if this is the case, that the world is in this state of fear, then who will pay heed to what Muslims say? Or who would ever think that Muslims could convey them with peace, prosperity and goodness? There are people who are smiting each other's necks. They indiscriminately kill innocent people, women, children and elders. Without any reason whatsoever, unjustifiably, they subjugate anyone who does not adhere to their views and doctrines. How could one ever hope or expect that such a type of person would ever desire for goodness and prosperity for others? So the unavoidable outcome that would emerge, and that is currently being seen, is that the world is frightened and scared of Muslims. But for we Ahmadis, whilst on the one hand we are most certainly embarrassed, pained, and also filled with agony and grief, as these Muslims carry out their acts, attributing themselves to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, who was a rahmatul lil alameen, the mercy of all mankind. They have defamed the name of Islam, and they also present the pious example and model of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the wrong light before the world. However, as an Ahmadi, we neither feel despair, frustrated, or unhopeful upon this state of affairs. I often present to non-Muslims this argument, that the actions of such Muslims in fact proves the truthfulness of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the veracity of Islam. Because it was the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who had said that a time would come when this would be the plight of Muslims. He even specified the time period that this condition of spiritual decline would initiate in such and such era. He also detailed the length of this period of darkness, after which he said that the advent of the promised Messiah would occur. he would re-establish the beautiful and true teachings of Islam in the world. This is the teaching which was preserved in its original and pristine state in the Holy Quran. We learn how to act on every single letter of the Holy Quran through the life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We Ahmadis firmly believe that in this era of corruption, in accordance with the prophecies of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi has arrived. The promised Messiah did not just make a claim. Rather, all the heavenly and earthly signs were fulfilled that were mentioned in the Holy Quran and by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to his advent. This promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi taught us the true teachings of Islam and illuminated our hearts. Today, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat acts upon this beautiful teaching. When all of this is explained to the people of the world, they are convinced and persuaded that Islam is not wrong. In fact, it is the actions of such Muslims which are wrong, who are spreading disorder and strife all over the world in the name of Islam. So thus, every single Ahmadi needs to remember that it is your duty to invite the world towards peace and to desire betterment and goodness for every single human being in the world. For God the Almighty bestowed His favor and grace upon us and enabled us to accept the promised Messiah and Imam Mahdi. Our duty does not only entail living in peace ourselves, nor is our only task to desist from evil and vice ourselves, nor is our only responsibility to avoid strife and disorder ourselves. Rather, it is also our duty to make the fullest efforts to establish peace in the entire world. To prevent the world from committing evils and vices is also our obligation. To keep the world away from disorder and strife and to protect and safeguard them from discord is also our task, because these are amongst the duties of the promised Messiah. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was sent to reintroduce and rejuvenate the Islamic teachings of spreading good and desiring betterment for all. So wishing for goodness and the best for all over the world and accepting the promised Messiah's bayt, the oath of allegiance, as well as a command of God, all require of us to enter the practical field. We should make maximum efforts to confer goodness and betterment to all the world and to remove evil and vice from them. We are the well-wishers of the Muslims and desire the best for them. We are also the well-wishers of non-Muslims and wish goodness and betterment for them. We are also the well-wishers of Christians, of Jews, of Hindus, and of people of other faiths and religions, to the extent that we are even the well-wishers of atheists, for we have to show all of them the paths which will draw them near to God. Indeed, we are even the well-wishers of people committing all forms of crimes, thieves and robbers, as well as transgressors. And the reason for this is because all of them are the creation of the Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of all the worlds. Thus, we must be well-wishers and desire betterment and goodness for all of God's creation. We need to display to them the paths of treading on piety and goodness and of avoiding vice and evil. By saying "Ukhrijat linnas," the good of mankind, Allah the Almighty has made the scope of our practical field extremely vast and wide-ranging. So thus, for the betterment, goodness, and well-wishing of the entire world, we would need to show them the correct path of reaching to God. We would have to inculcate in them treading upon the commands of God the Almighty. We would have to inform them that one day this world will come to an end. Every single person would then attain reward and punishment according to their deeds. So thus, establish a connection with God so you can receive the best ending. However, we would not be able to make anyone understand this unless we ourselves keep a vigilant eye upon our end. This, therefore, is a huge responsibility that we must discharge with concern and whilst assessing our own condition and state. When discharging this task and responsibility, we will and do face difficulties. The history of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat tells us that we faced these difficulties and the opposition of the world at every step of the way. This is not something specific to only us. All the prophets who came, as well as their followers, had to confront opposition. However, because those prophets were sent for specific nations, areas, and peoples, so thus the opposition against them was also limited to that scope. When the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advent occurred, he was sent for the entire world. And thus we observe that the entire world opposed the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and today this opposition in the entire world continues. The promised Messiah alayhi salam's mission and scope is the same as the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his servitude. And thus the promised Messiah alayhi salam was opposed by every nation and every religion when he made his claim. This opposition continues today. In some places it is greater, whilst elsewhere it is lesser. This opposition has never come to an end, and nor will it ever. Undoubtedly, there are numerous people in the world who praise the Ahmadiyya Muslim community for their work towards establishing peace. However, when from a religious and spiritual perspective, extraordinary success is achieved, then we will also have to face opposition in Western countries. Or at the least, we would have to face opposition from so-called religious followers here. We must therefore never assume that in these educated and enlightened countries, we will always receive goodness in response to goodness. Even today, there are many churches who, as a church, oppose us, as do their priests. Their administration do not even want to sit down together with the Jamaat. At the World Conference of Religions in February, the Church of England were invited. They did not attend, and in fact, they did not even offer us a reply. Our Tablighi, our preaching teams, travel in numerous places in various countries. A handful of times, the churches in smaller areas allow us to hold our functions and use their places, permitting us to present our beliefs, objectives, and views. However, when they observe that we repeatedly visit these places and that the attention of people is inclined towards our opinions, they begin to oppose us. Similarly, writers who are of no religion or are atheists are fiercely writing against Islam. When the Jamaat responds to them, they also respond to us in opposition. As the numbers in the Jamaat increase, so too will this opposition continue increasing. The prophets, however, have firm belief that ultimately they will triumph. God the Almighty instills this belief within them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, had this same conviction because Allah the Almighty had told him clearly that he would gain victory and success. It is on this premise that we also believe that the final victory and triumph will be to the promised Messiah. Allah the Almighty does not make false promises. Further, the countless and innumerable practical testimonies of God the Almighty testify that Allah the Almighty is with the promised Messiah. So thus there is no reason whatsoever why we should take the claim of the promised Messiah alayhi salam lightly in any way. Nor should we ever hold a wrong or inappropriate opinion or think ill of God. Such dreadful circumstances befell the Jamaat at times that the opponents would think that now the Jamaat would completely end. However, what was the resulting outcome? Despite all the power and might of the opponents, they always failed. Whereas with the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Jamaat emerged gloriously and victorious from these predicaments. So however the world may treat us, that is their problem. We have the support and succor of Allah the Almighty with us. We have firm faith and conviction that the commands of Allah the Almighty must be discharged. This is why, without any doubt and certainly, we must tread upon the commands of Allah the Almighty and also act upon this command of God. Becoming well wishers of the entire world, we must further this task and mission. We should have pious sentiments and feelings for the entire world. Most certainly, we hold these virtuous and good sentiments for everyone. However, if despite this, we are afflicted with pain and suffering from the world, then even in this case, we must not allow the responsibility entrusted to us to ever diminish or reduce. For the task of reforming the world has been given to us. Allah the Almighty has called us the Khayri Ummat, the best of mankind. So we must never desist from spreading good. This goodness is conveying the message of Islam. It is to invite the world towards God the Almighty. What greater good can there be than this? There is so much evil, vice, illicitness and lustfulness, immorality and filthiness, and ridicule and mockery of the commandments of Allah the Almighty. The media and the government are promoting this to such a degree that perhaps we have never seen this in the world before. Satan today is unleashing ferocious assaults, the like of which perhaps has never been experienced in the world. In one instant, within an instant, indecent, immoral, vulgar images, stories, and voices reach from one end of the world to the other. We raise the voice of goodness, but it does not resonate in the ears of the majority, whilst the voice of evil and vice immediately has an impact upon people. Even where there are those who do promptly respond to our message, then the majority among such people treat it in a manner as shown towards a child. They say, well done, you are doing really well. Thereafter, they disconnect themselves. And they become embroiled in such exertions which make them far removed from goodness. Thus, we need to come to understand that this is not the ultimate or the pinnacle or the end of our efforts to obtain our objectives, that upon the smallest of praise, we should become happy like children and sit idle, that we convey the message to just a handful of people and then assume that we have carried out a great feat or achievement. Indeed, we have to make extraordinary and maximum efforts to convey goodness to the world and to remove evil and vice. Any opposition or obstacle, whether it originates from Muslims, from non-Muslims, from atheists, or from anyone else, we should strive to remove it from our path like wind blows away straw or a blade of grass. From this we can gauge the extent to which our efforts need to be comprehensive, solid and intensive. Alongside this, every single Ahmadi, in accordance with their capabilities and capacities, needs to play their part in this. The mission of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, was to convey the message of Islam to all mankind, to spread this goodness. This indeed is also our task. It should not worry us that the world does not respond to our message, it does not resonate with them, or that they do not give attention towards it. We invite and call towards goodness, whilst the evil and vices are becoming more and more prevalent. These mischievous acts against us are perpetrated against us from all sides. In particular, opposition to Ahmadiyyat amongst the Muslims is so fierce that it has exceeded all bounds. Without a doubt, there are people who have started raising somewhat of a voice in our favor. There are some who consider the truth as truth, and despite all opposition, and accept Ahmadiyyat, the true Islam. Yet we also clearly see that the numbers who create disorder, strife and chaos is very large. Out of fear of this category of people, decent and sincere people stay silent and do not speak out or act, whilst this type of people do whatever they please. The question is that as a result of this opposition, can we stop our mission? Will we fear the world and desist from Allah's command of spreading goodness? As I said, there are people in the world that despite all the oppositions, they confront the satanic assaults and are unable to accept Ahmadiyyat. Some among these relate their accounts of acceptance of Ahmadiyyat and say that it was indeed the opposition to Ahmadiyyat that showed them the path towards it. Just in my last khutbah, I mention an incident of a poet with reference to Hadhrat Khalif Tumsi II. He was in search of finding a criticism, and for this purpose, he read the poetry of the Promised Messiah in his collection, Durr-i-Simin, and in particular, he read his Persian poetry. Ultimately, he accepted Ahmadiyyat. He said, "It has become clear as daylight to me that there is no one more than Mirza Ghulam Ahmad of Qadian who is devoted and loves the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Thus, we firmly believe that when we will spread goodness as compared to vices and evil, then there will be people from among them who will ooze with droplets of love for us. They will come into the servitude of the Messiah of Muhammad. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has given us a teaching that we should pray even for the enemy. We should desire good for them, and we should deliver good and benefit to them. You would also be aware of the following account, which indeed is a depiction of the pain and agony in the heart of the promised Messiah. I mentioned this in a previous Friday sermon. Despite the fact that Allah the Almighty had sent the plague as a sign in support of him, but when people started to die, the promised Messiah became extremely concerned that who would worship God and come to have faith. Thus the promised Messiah prayed with such agony and anguish for the destruction to be averted, that someone who heard him described it as if a woman who is in the pangs of labor. So thus, for the people of the world, this is that example and standard of goodness, which in this era, the true servant of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has presented before us. The promised Messiah, rather than desiring the destruction of the world, desired goodness for the world, for God is a possessor of all powers. He can change the hearts of people without bringing about destruction. So therefore our emphasis should also be to follow the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam on the following point: that people should be saved from destruction and ruin. They should instead become our brethren. To this end, we would need to pray with great agony and pain, and we would also have to strive and make efforts. We would have to properly, spiritually guide mankind, and cater and facilitate for their life in this world and the hereafter. I should also inform you that after spiritually guiding the world, we will of course guide them to the right path. But we also have to cater for the spiritual and material needs. There are commands included in the Holy Quran to this effect. We are not only to arrange for goodness for our own people. We are not only to remove the hunger, illnesses, and provide shelter for our own people. Rather, our efforts and undertaking should be for every needy people. Although the ensuing topic is more in regards to spiritual goodness, however, there is something which has come to my notice, which I should mention here. Recently, one of our Ahmadis toured Turkey and Lebanon. He went there to assess and gauge the needs and requirements of those who have come from the surrounding countries for refuge and shelter, because it is a very terrible situation there. They are experiencing a shortage of food and also need clothes. The education of the children has been affected. There are various charity organizations who are trying to assist them, but yet there still remains a lot of shortage. There, an Ahmadi raised the objection: why the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat helps the people in Europe? He said the Jamaat should only help us. This person perhaps was indicating towards the various charities who we give sums towards. Here the reply, according to the Quranic command, spiritual and material assistance is to be given indiscriminately and without distinction to everyone. Allah the Almighty has said to feed the hungry. He has not said that only feed an Ahmadi or Muslim person who is hungry. In fact, every single person has to be given food who requires it. It is said to fulfill the need of the needy. So this is also our responsibility, that we should fulfill the requirements of every needy person. We must indeed fulfill all these responsibilities. It does not befit a mu'min, a believer, to say such things, that he should raise the objection why aid was given to such and such people but not others. Rather, it is amongst the obligations of a believer to help and serve every single person without distinction. In terms of the charity walks, etc., that we hold here, there are quite a large number of non-Muslims who also attend. And we also give towards these charities. In turn, they also contribute towards our charities when they come. In this sense, it is a right of the local charities that we should also join with them in their endeavors to serve humanity. We see in the example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed example of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that even if today I am called by non-Muslims to help the needy, I would readily do so. He was indicating towards the treaty of Hilful Fudul. Well before the prophethood, the people of Makkah had got together with some others to fulfill the requirements of the needy and the poor. The Prophet Muhammad was a part of that treaty. Thus, as I said, we need to widen our scope of spreading goodness to the maximum extent and not limit our scope of spreading good. In the material help that we give to others, we do not look for any recompense or reward, nor do we look for anything in return in the spiritual material we distribute. Our only pain, agony and passion is for the world to come to recognize their Creator. By sharing the goodness and distributing amongst the people, as was always the way of the Prophet and the followers, the Prophets have always taught that my reward is with Allah, we seek no reward from you. So thus this should be the answer of the Jamaat of the Prophet. We should also keep in mind when the Prophets, when distributing goodness, say that my reward is with God, then even then there remains a large number of people who oppose the Prophet, and in fact these numbers grow. So we should also think that in recompense of this goodness we are spreading, the mischievous opponents may go on increasing in their opposition and enmity, and they may try to inflict us with harm. Indeed, this does occur. Some look at us as a lion looks at a goat. But how did this prey come into our reach? Our situation is very much like that person who would have reared a lion or a cheetah and somehow it escapes. So the owner will try to capture or subjugate it in a way that the animal suffers no harm and still proves to be a benefit for him. But the cheetah will be trying to attack the owner and kill it. So in Pakistan and in some other countries, there are such people. Indeed, all mullah and people under the influence are such, who attribute lies and falsehood to us. They also wish to tear us apart. But it is our effort that somehow they should be saved and should not be seized by God. Their opposition to us is not out of any personal enmity or reason. Various Ahmadis in different areas continue to receive threats that they will do this and that with them. They say that thus it is better that they should repent from Ahmadiyyat and join them. And so the enmities are as a result of Ahmadiyyat, not because of any personal reason. And their enmity to Ahmadiyyat is as a result that they clearly see that the progress of Ahmadiyyat runs contrary to their personal and vested interests. It is likely to diminish the attention of people towards them. As Ahmadiyyat continues to progress, or Ahmadis continue to advance, they will continue to suffer decline and diminishment. These people can clearly see that the way and the manner in which the Jamaat is making progress, it is likely to subjugate and dominate them tomorrow. As I have said before, in these Western countries, or in those countries that are under their influence, the progress and advancement of the Jamaat will lead them towards planning and scheming in opposition against the Jamaat. These people presume that perhaps the Jamaat wants to take power and control over governments, whereas the spreading of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat is not in the direction of taking control of countries. Indeed, the spread of Ahmadiyyat in these countries will be an even greater means of establishing and spreading peace, security and harmony. In the Muslim countries, when we say to the Muslims to join with the true servant of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we say they should do so to remove their worldly pains, sufferings and to remove them from the disorder. It is for their best outcome. Similarly, we say this to the followers of other religions of the world so that they can be saved from the wrath of God. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, did not desire triumph, victory and success in order to have the world under his control. Nor did he pray for a triumph of this manner. Nor by uniting under Khilafah today does the Jamaat speak about taking over worldly governments and have the world under their control. Indeed, its purpose is to establish the authority and governance of God in the entire world, and to spread the pure and holy teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and entrench it in the world. We must always keep an eye on the life of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and the history of Islam. Despite his message of goodness and betterment, there was a storm of opposition that rose against him and his companions. Enmity was fierce and wars were forced upon them. However, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only sought guidance, mercy and compassion for his nation and people. He tried his level best for the world only to attain goodness from him. Even the wars he fought were because they were forced upon him. And he fought the wars avoiding all forms of cruelty and wrongdoing. He only fought in self-defense and for the purpose of reformation. And in one sense, the final outcome of this was to attain and convey goodness. Whereas we see, for example, in the Torah, the mention of the people of Hadrat Ishaq against the children of Hadrat Ismail, the Jews and the Christians opposed the Holy Prophet for this very reason. Despite the fact that the Jews and the Christians were in extreme opposition to one another, yet they would unite against the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today they do so also. As a result of this very teaching and way of thinking, the Jews inflicted great pain and suffering to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. Yet the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, always wished only good and expressed sentiments of mercy and compassion for them. Except where it was required by the governance of affairs and punishment, and that too was a sake for goodness and betterment for others. We should remember that in this era, the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, on whom be peace, has been sent as a deputy and subordinate to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So thus, these difficulties and oppositions had to be established with him. They were necessary and they are. So thus we who have come into the bed of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, his oath of allegiance, must also face opposition. We are doing so today. However, despite all of this, we have to follow the blessed example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and wish for only good and betterment for the entire world. Listening to these things, some people may think in their minds that we will always continue to face opposition perpetually. This is not the case either. I have explained before that the promises of triumph and victory are with the promised Messiah. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, inshallah, God willing, we will attain this success and victory. This will not be achieved by relying on worldly means. Similarly, we cannot fulfill any of our tasks, duties and missions by relying on worldly means. How can we rely on worldly means? Because we have been called the Khairi Ummah, the best of people. We have to distribute goodness and not be given goodness from others. Thus, as I have said, that with the grace of Allah we will attain this victory and dominance. To attain this grace and blessings, we would have to undertake and exert efforts and energy. To this end, we would have to take the responsibilities entrusted to us to the pinnacle and maximum standard. Whatever we are to achieve will be by relying on our efforts and by attaining the grace, bounties and blessings of God. If we rely on others or depend on worldly powers in any way, this will be our source of decline and downfall. We must remember this. Divine Jamaats do not seek or get help from worldly powers. What efforts do we need to make through which we can gain success? It is the message of goodness and betterment, which I have already mentioned. This needs to be conveyed and distributed and spread to every person in the world and by every Ahmadi from every section of society. This is what is required. We have to put ourselves into the work of preaching, of tabligh, of conveying the message. There are laborers, traders, doctors, lawyers, scientists, teachers, farmers. Everyone utilizing wisdom has to convey this message of goodness to the people of his or her own section of society, so that the world can come to learn of Ahmadiyyat, the true Islam. This needs to be done before the time that the seeds of opposition start to be planted or start to grow in places where they have not yet sprouted. We must establish ourselves strongly there. Before the armies of Satan realize what is happening, the beautiful Islamic teachings of goodness and beneficence should already be victorious in such areas. Today it is the work of the servants of the Messiah of Muhammad that by using wisdom and through strenuous efforts attaining the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty, they should go and plant the Islamic teachings of goodness and beneficence in the hearts of everyone. You should try your level best to do this. For this, it is necessary to increase the numbers of da'ina lillah, those who call others to Allah, and they also need to be activated. May Allah the Almighty enable the members of the Jamaat and also the Nizam to pay full attention towards this.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.